sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oklahoma City, even the series last night, a convincing 123-107 win over the Pacers. Dominated this game, much like they dominated game one into the final 9.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes. Where do you stand now with the series after it's tied at a game apiece?
Yeah, last night wasn't good. I mean, I kind of half expected Indiana to like already feel like they did what they were supposed to do. But you're not wrong. You know, I watched that game, and before you knew it, it was 10, then it was 15, then it was the same stuff, different game. And I think Indiana's got to. I think their must win is the next game. I think they have to win game three because I do believe that on both sides of the ball, Oklahoma City's more talented. I mean, Halliburton, to me, was an – I'd be embarrassed. For three quarters, I would be embarrassed. If I was the guy that came up big, that everybody, you know, was so worried about being overrated, that's done all he's done all playoffs, you've got to do more in the first three quarters than what you did because you were a non-factor, essentially, and they rely on him too heavily, whereas Oklahoma City can share the wealth and get contributions from Jalen Williams and their bench contributed guy that that didn't play in the first game gives you 18 or 20, and then Caruso gives you 18 or 20, and then Jalen Williams backs up SGA, and they're good.
So you want to like force the issue?
Yeah, I think he should. I think he's good enough, and I think that doesn't mean he has to score, but I want him to be downhill. I want him to getting into the teeth of the defense. I want him they run so much action at the top of the key once they cross half court that a lot of times it's kind of like similar to what we see with the Rockets offense during the course of the regular season where it gets stagnant sometimes where they spend too much time trying to run high screens, and then before you know it, the shot clock's down and they don't get great shots. Whereas I think OKC really moves the basketball, and they have a couple guys that can facilitate, and they seem to get good looks almost every possession down.
I think I said on this show, OKC in six, an easy six. It's not going to be easy six. What's that?
I think you doubled down to say
no, Friday. I said on this show originally, Oklahoma City in six. I said on TikTok, OKC in five, at Jeremy J. Branham. And then I said on the show Friday, Oklahoma City in five. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Game three is going to be the biggest challenge for OKC remaining in the series. I believe OKC is going to win the rest of the games in the NBA Finals and win the series in five.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And if it's not five, it'll be six.
I'm going to hold true to the fact that I think Indiana finds a way to get it to go six. I did not expect Indiana to win one of the first two games in OKC. So they got the split. I think that all the momentum in the world is going to give them their absolute best chance to win in game three. I would dare to say game three is a must win for the Pacers.
Ooh, or make people mad with that.
Game three is a must win for the Pacers, or it might not go back to OKC.
Well, it's
that way you would be right.
Well, it's two,
that's right. It changed. The format changed. Yeah, I just think that it may not go six. They have to win game three, or I think the series is over.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, Indy pulled the starters with 3 minutes left. They could have gave it a run yesterday. I disagree. I don't think that they could have given it a run yet.
What's the closest they got in the second half? Nine?
I had it down to single digits, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, I was like, because I didn't even expect that. But pulling their starters with 3 minutes to play, I don't think that there was anything that led me to believe they had a chance to get back in it late.
Yeah, I think that OKC losing game one awoke the sleeping giant. Pacers have to hit their threes. They shoot over 40%, they win. They shoot under 40%, they lose. That's how it's been all playoffs. You can make that case for most teams, probably. But is Indy more dependent on the three than others? I mean, maybe so.
I just think that when you look at the two teams and you take their two most significant players, I think with Williams and SGA, yeah, they're your two best players, but they have other guys that are capable of giving you 20. I think when you look at the Pacers, it's Siakam and it's Hallie, and other than that, you're looking at is Mathurin. I think you're really rolling the dice. You don't have as reliable deep of a rest of the roster.
Yeah, if Jairus Walker was playing, though, they'd probably sweep this series.
He's not even active, right, because of his ankle?
He sprained his ankle. He got some run in the final Eastern Conference Finals, mm-hmm. and then got hurt and probably won't play. Josh and Seabrook said he's rooting for the Pacers because of Jairus. That would be cool for Jairus to get an NBA ring, a finals ring. Tyler in the row, OKC versus Pacers. I'm sure all 10,000 people in the Midwest are going wild watching this finals. Basketball sucks. says Tyler in the row. Yeah, I imagine basketball is not massive in Conroe. I imagine that's not a huge basketball-loving area.
I think to Tyler's point, though, I'm not sure how many people are still watching. I mean, especially in the big markets, once their teams are eliminated. We talked about this last week. I don't – as good as their ratings have been, better than I even expected for this season – I'm not sure that their ratings, no matter what, with this matchup, are going to be great.
I think basketball and baseball both have the more regional than national. If your team's in it, you're going to watch your team. Mm-hmm. But when your team's not in it, it's a little bit more. How do I want to say this? You're not going to watch it as much. And I feel like the same thing with the playoffs in baseball. Like, Astros eliminated, you're probably not going to have too much of an interest to have appointment television of watching Major League Baseball playoffs. Same thing in the NBA. If your team's not in it, I don't think it's appointment TV. Now, if it's on, you have nothing else to do, you'll turn it on. NFL, everything's appointment TV.
No doubt. And I think that the matchup matters. Like, I think that if there was baseball on and it was still – and the Astros are out, I'm still going to watch it. I think last night, if there was something else on, I probably would be flipping back and forth or flipping in to see what's going on with the basketball game. But I wouldn't be as dialed in because from a matchup standpoint, I just don't believe that there's anything that's overly compelling to me. Like, if there was an Astros game last night, I'm watching the Astros game, and I'm checking in on the basketball game, but I'm not that dialed in.
Yeah, I had the TV on the NBA Finals, and I had the computer on the Super Regionals. Mm-hmm. There was two Super Regional games. The problem with the Super Regional games, they were kind of duds last night. LSU beat up on West Virginia. Shout out to the Tigers. And then Oregon State blew the brakes off Florida State. So those really weren't that competitive. 713-780 ESPN. I actually like the way OKC plays, though. Like, OKC to me is very entertaining. Like, to me, the brand doesn't matter. I'd rather watch Oklahoma City play basketball than the LA Lakers with LeBron and Luka.
Oh, I mean, from the standpoint of the purest form of basketball on both ends and like, attention to detail, the way they execute on both ends, that's the way basketball is supposed to be played. That is a very efficient, fun-to-watch basketball team. If you like good basketball, most people are going to say they want to see LeBron and Luka.
Yeah, they like the stars. I like the basketball. Indy leading the playoffs in threes. That's why I'm saying they have to hit their threes. Lack of star power. Key from L.A., if you're a fan of basketball and you're not watching the NBA Finals, just stop watching sport completely. That's a bit egregious there, Key from L.A.
I think you have to be – something compels you to watch it. I mean, I did not expect Indiana to win last night, especially because they got game one. And I felt like OKC – knew not that it was a must win, but they were going to put their best foot forward no matter what because they knew they let one get away and they couldn't afford to get let two. But overall, I'm a huge fan of basketball, but I don't like the way Indiana plays a lot of the time offensively, and last night was a perfect example. And if you say they have to make their threes, okay, but when Siakam and Turner and McConnell are just cranking up every time and they're contested and they ain't going in, yeah, that's when they're really going to get blown out.
The salary is in for Nick Chubb. You want to take a guess?
Two.
Ian Rappaport. 1 year, $2.5 million deal. So very good guess. You're right there. And you didn't go over.
I was between two and three.
If you would have went 2.6. If you would have went 3, you would have lost the game. But you went 2, so you're under.
But they're not giving you the incentives, are they?
They did.
Oh, really?
Do you want to guess how much the contract can be up to? So it's $2.5 million base, can be up to X.
5.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Because yeah. I was going to say, I think your benchmark is spot on. I think the yard benchmark is going to be around 500 yards.
Yeah, I'm interested in what the incentives are. Do you think it's yardage or do you think it's like games played?
I think it's a combination.
There's probably a roster bonus too.
There's a bonus for the roster. There's a bonus for yards. There's a bonus for games played. I think all three of those would factor into maximizing how much he could make.
I feel like that's fine. $2.5 million, that's very little. And then $5 million. I always like incentive-based contracts because if you're paying the upward amount of the incentive, they did something good. Like, I'm a big fan of incentive-laden deals. There was also reports that Nick Chubb had bigger offers on the table but wanted to play for a contender. So Nick Chubb is telling you the Houston Texans are a contender.
Yeah, and I think that I think a lot of guys are drawn to the fact that this is an up-and-coming team, that they like D'Amico, that – you know, there is obviously a dark horse possibility for them to do something big this year.
A Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm with you on that. I think they should be a dark horse candidate. I think they're talented enough. I think it all relies on the offensive line and the health of CJ. But I believe that with all this talent, there are guys that want to play for Houston.
Yeah. No, this is a good deal. There's this very low risk. You pay $2.5 million. Chubb had options. He chose to pick the Texans. Yep, exactly. I'm already over all the Nick Chubb jokes.
I think in
terrible,
this city,
terrible
you have
comedy.
Two of the three teams in which the coach itself or the manager, I mean the coach or manager, has the ability to have players that want to play here. And I think in the one case where I wouldn't say that. I would say the organization itself is a big enough draw that players want to come here. Houston's in a really advantageous position with all three teams that guys will play for less to play here.
Yeah, the veterans will.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to play for Espada, but I think most baseball players would love a chance to play with the Astros.
Like that's catching a stray, Espada.
In terms of the three coach or managers in this town, I feel like in the NBA, there's a whole bunch of players that want to play for Ime. I feel like there's a whole bunch of players in football that want to play for D'Amico. I feel like there's a whole bunch of players in baseball that would love to play for the Astros.
He's throwing shots at Espada. What did Espada do to catch a stray?
He hasn't done enough for me to say that there are players that want to go play for Espada.
Yeah. I would agree with you with the veterans. Like, you're not going to be in the prime of your career and signing with any of those teams if they're not paying you top dollar. Now, the veterans that want to win, I'm with you. Like, the Chubb and, you know, if there's a basketball comparison. But if you're the best player in free agency, you're not going to be like, okay, I'll take 25% less to go sign with Texans or Rockets whenever they're going to make the biggest amount of money they'll ever make in their lives. Veteran, yes, not prime of your career players.
That's fair. I mean, everybody's trying to chase their bag, so I get that.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, a Yordan Alvarez update. We'll discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. So the kids were out of school a couple of weeks ago, and we went up to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Great time was had. Got there in a reasonable amount of time. In fact, I got to the tree houses where we stayed. I got there 30 minutes after where I would normally get home. That's how close it is. So get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You don't have to waste your entire day traveling. You're not going to pack up the kids and drive for 4 or 5 hours. You're not going to worry about the airport, nothing like that. You're going to get your rest and relaxation 90 minutes from the city of Houston. We caught a few fish in the catch and release pond, the two creeks down there. Great time as well. Grilled up some steaks. This is the perfect spot for a weekend getaway. It's a perfect spot to get away any time of the week. Escape the rat race. Get rid of the hustle and bustle and go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and enjoy a great time. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors, from the open green spaces to the wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees and some of the best fishing that I alluded to in the state of Texas. You can't beat it. Just 90 minutes from Houston, you can escape the city without traveling too far, whether you're hiking on the 92-acre property, whether you're kayaking, a little pickleball, or you can just hang out by the pool with a drink, too. They had a food truck whenever we were out there. They had live music playing when we were out there. Two Creeks Crossing Resort knows how to take care of all of their visitors. From glamping to cabins to tree houses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anybody. It's a great spot, and incredible savings are in store right now in June and July as well. Book 5 nights and you save 35% on your stay. Book now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is this alluding to Yordan Alvarez's hand? Broken bone in his hand?
No, just like music.
There's an update on Yordan Alvarez. What's that?
Happy coincidence.
Dana Brown told Astros Radio yesterday that Yordan Alvarez could be picking up a bat as soon as this week, not next week, not the week after, this week, Yordan Alvarez could start taking some cuts.
So the other 40% is healing ahead of schedule?
It's record pace. We always knew Yordan was a fast healer. Always knew that.
You good with that?
I mean, if the bone's 100%.
See, that's a big if, and of course, imaging matters now. But at the same time, you've tried. I know, but you've tried once, and it's derailed the process. I'm almost hyper bordering on the over on this case before I let him start swinging a bat again.
I mean, you have to go with what the bone is telling you, right? Now, but it seems fast. It was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't last week, was it?
I was going to say it was just a little. Maybe
no, it
in
was
between.
Last week. It was
like,
last
yeah, it's like a little over a week, right?
So you don't think you get the bone could heal 40%?
No,
of the week?
I don't. And I don't want to set it back again and put it on hold and start from almost scratch 60% plus.
I was shocked whenever he said this week.
Is it fair to question Dana's timetable again?
Of course. Everything's fair
right.
when it comes to their
timetable
and
exactly what I mean.
Yeah. Everything's fair.
Yeah. So I'm not holding my breath. And honestly, I don't want him back that soon.
Why not, though? If it's 100%, like, again, it's a huge leap, but bear with me here. If it's 100%, you have to let him swing.
Yes, if it's 100%. Do I believe it's 100%? No, I do not. Do I believe it's as close as he's letting people on to believe that it is? No, I do not.
I was stunned that he gave a timeline period. Because remember last week it was, we're not going to give timelines. And then he immediately a week later gives a timeline. Immediately a week later gives a timeline. Now, I guess he's not giving a timeline on his return to play. But if he's picking up a bat and he's starting to swing, that it begins the process of returning to play.
Yeah, but why? Like, I mean, again, and I hope they're imaging the hell out of this thing. This time, too, to make sure.
Give him radiation poison.
Yeah, I hope, but I'm okay.
He needs to never have kids again.
I hope that he's just, you know, positively guessing on this. Like, because I don't know what I don't know, and what I don't know the last time got us all a whole hell of a lot of content and a whole lot of what the hell's going on here, to where you're in first place, you're playing good baseball. I don't want to rush him in this. To do this time.
Yeah, hopefully it wouldn't be a rush. Hopefully it's like, okay, the bone is healed, like, and we're good to go.
That 40% healed up in a hell of a
now,
short period of time.
To be fair, the bone was already, like, the bone was not broken anymore, whenever, at least what they say. Whenever Dana Brown talked to us, I guess it would be a little over a week ago now, they said that the bone was already healed. Like, it was healed and it built up a calcium deposit. There was no longer a break. It was just 60%.
And the soreness that went with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like, this is why they should have medical experts explain this and not Dana Brown. But Dana was like, yeah, it's not broken anymore, but we can tell because of the calcium deposits or whatever that it's 60% clear. So it's like, okay, what does that exactly mean?
I have zero faith. So the one thing I do have faith in is that when he's healthy, he's damn good. And because they're in a position of strength right now leading the division, I'm not trying to rush him back right now. You're playing the White Sox. I get it. The Twins are a better team than that, and they've been playing good baseball. But you're playing good enough baseball right now that I'm not going to take any chances with him.
No, I would go the Dusty Baker. Like, whenever they tell me it's 100%, that we're giving it at least another week. Mm-hmm. Like, I would definitely go that route. And if it was 60% healed a little over a week ago, okay, that's cool. Even if we assume that it's 100% now, let's give them this entire week right. And then come back that week after. Maybe they're trying to beat that July timeline, though, so they don't miss any extra time with Jordan saying.
Yeah, and I could give a rat's ass about the timeline. And if I'm the Astros, I should have that mentality because, like I said, you're playing good enough without him, and he means so much to you when you have him that if it takes to the All-Star break, so be it. But at the same time, if you miss the initial timeline or the secondary timeline, I don't care as long as when he does truly come back, he's 100%.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very interesting timeline when it comes to Jordan Alvarez, though. What is your date back for Jordan? What is your guess of the date?
For a second.
All right, time out.
If you're Dana Brown, we talk about learning a lesson with the imaging. Could you not learn a lesson from all these timelines and all these things to just shut your mouth and go, he's progressing really well right now. We're really encouraged. Stop.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just
you on that
stop
one.
Right there.
But what's funny about it is he said that he was going to do that whenever he gave us the news about Jordan's hand. Whenever he said, yeah, by the way, it's broken, he was asked about, like, what's the time? We're not going to do timelines with Jordan. We think it's going to be sooner rather than later. And then a week later,
here it comes.
Gives a timeline. Like, he couldn't help himself. Like, he's like an addict who gives up drinking. Like, he does it for a little bit, and then he can't help himself whenever he sees a drink there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Dana Brown is addicted to talking too much.
I mean, we talk about guys in this town. We've had a lot of general managers, and still do, that are addicted to talking too much. And Nick's right in that category. Now, he might not say anything when he says it.
Yeah, Nick likes to.
He's close. He keeps it closer to the vest.
He's more word. Yeah, he's more word salad.
Right.
But he also wants to let everybody know how smart he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dana just wants you to know that he's the guy that knows everything and just drops timelines.
I do think that Dana means well. I don't think Dana's coming from a sense of I need to be the smartest guy in the room. No. I don't think Dana's coming from like a Daryl Morey sense. I think Dana's trying to be nice, and because he's trying to be nice, he probably talks more than he should.
Dana also has the problem that you don't have with the other guys in that he's trying to prove that he's in total control. So maybe sometimes that's why he's giving you maybe too much information.
I don't think he does that. I think he
feels it. I think he knows that there are a lot of people that question how much he's truly making, how much he's totally in control on.
Whenever he talks, though, he's always like, you know, Mr. Crane, and if we have the money for Mr. Crane, like, I don't know if I would go that far.
But from a who's involved in the decision-making process, I think he's up against it. I think people wonder if he makes the decision.
I think that is true, but I've never heard Dana Brown get into a peeing competition where he's trying to sound more authoritative than anybody else.
That's what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is that when he does these things, maybe that's why he gives you that timeline, because he wants you to believe that he's the guy that's telling you the exact real answer.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm more of the belief that he's trying to be nice to whoever's asking him questions. What's up? The mic went limp. We've got Jordan's hand on you.
There's no
huh?
hold on that mic.
It's like Nick Chubb's knee.
Let's hope
just
not.
Gave way.
Or CJ's shoulder.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
80 ESPN, HRNP, listener line, 713-780-3776. What is your question for the Killer Bees? Mailbag Monday. First one, what is your favorite streaming platform?
To like absorb content, or because you know I don't stream.
I guess I have a few. I have Apple, I have Prime, I have Netflix, I have Peacock. I would probably go.
Like I do all those for the game.
I guess Apple TV. I mean Netflix is fine. I've been watching that horse racing. A little like what would you call it? It's not a documentary. It's more reality TV. It's like the F1 version of horse racing. That one's been pretty interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I'll use those platforms to watch the games when the games are on those channels and things like that. But you know, I'm not watching a TV show like that.
Yeah, I would go. I think Apple TV has the best shows. Netflix probably has the volume. I think it'd be a fair way to put it. Plus, they're like the OG, I guess. 713-780-ESPN, question for the Bees. Texture, did I miss the discussion on Texans signing Nick Chubb? Yeah, you did. But yeah, $2.5 million incentive-laden deal, up to $5 million. Blankers and I both think he has the upside of being RB2. Would that be the leader in the clubhouse, too? Like, that's what we think would happen?
Is
most likely scenarios, Nick Chubb is your backup running back.
Yes, number two.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Maybe... I think there's a chance he would be – well, look, I think the range is pretty big on Nick Chubb. I think that the range could be backup running back. I think he could not make the team if he's completely washed. It's not a big guarantee. I think the most likely thing is he's your second running back. But I also think there's a shot that Woody Marks has more touches than Nick Chubb despite being the second running back. Because I think Woody Marks is still going to be the third down running back. I think Nick Chubb is going to be your backup on first and second down.
And I think – but I think as no matter where you – drafted him and what you think of Woody Marks for the future, I think it all is completely based on what Nick Chubb still has left in the tank. I think if Nick Chubb comes in and now fully recovered from his injury, I think that he has the chance to be at best a guy that maybe takes more carries than you thought he was capable of from Joe Mixon, but not to take a slap at Joe Mixon. It's because you can continue to pound the rock.
And you want to protect Mixon.
Exactly.
You don't want him to get a ton of touches. Now, we're looking at, like, the range here. I do think it's a massive reach to think that Nick Chubb can regain what he was in Cleveland, though.
That's fair.
Like, what he was pre-injury, we'll never see again, IMO.
I totally agree with that. Because of he's 29, okay. Still from a running back standpoint, there's a lot of miles on the tires.
Uh-huh.
But then because of the injury history and because it's a knee with a running back this time, that's right. That's accurate.
Two questions with the news of signing Chubb. Is it he the clear number two over Pierce? Kind of discussed that. How much do you think he'll play this year? Really discussed that. I think he's the clear two over Pierce on first and second down. I'm not sure that he's going to get more touches than Marks. Kind of just recycled what we said. Spaghetti or lasagna?
Lasagna.
Really?
Mm-hmm. With the cheese factor.
I'm gonna go spaghetti.
Really?
Yeah, I like a good spaghetti.
With meatballs or
there's a meatballs is probably my least favorite spaghetti. I would go meat sauce ahead of meatballs, and then what's the one where it's like white and they put like pepper on it and like garlicky butter? I always call it
Alfredo.
The Alfredo.
No, Alfredo.
That's what I thought.
What, a taste
the
of a child?
Sauce?
Alfredo. No, it's like there's like
cacio e pepe.
Hold on a second. What's that?
Cacio e pepe.
That's it. Cacio e pepe.
Is this like the other one that the salad that you like?
Caprese? I don't even know how to say it.
That's why I'm asking.
I think it's pretty standard. Like, it's not like spaghetti with meat sauce, like Americanized, but I think like an Italian dining place has a, what's it called? Cocotto pepe?
Cacio pepe. It's just cream, or I guess it's Parmesan cheese and cream and pepper.
Cacio de pepe is amazing.
No, I've never, I don't
the
believe
it. The cultivar, best in the city.
That's a restaurant here?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. What
they do the best cacio e pepe. I'm not saying that right. I'm Mexican. I don't say Italian words right. Cacio e pepe is fantastic.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
My wife wanted to go to Cultivar to get the spaghetti, and I threw a fit. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. Spaghetti, what are we, 12? And then we got this, and I fell in love. Not with my wife, with the dish. With the dish. I was already in love with my wife. I fell in love with the dish. Cacio e pepe is fantastic. You got to try some.
I'm not opposed to it, but in terms of the choice between the two, you give me the lasagna with all the different cheese and the layer. Yeah, and that's good stuff.
Who puts Parmesan on? Who puts Alfredo sauce on spaghetti? No one does that.
Come on, man, he's young.
Who would win a Royal Rumble style fight to the death? No weapons allowed. 100 Boston Dynamic robots versus 50 Silverback gorillas. I don't know what these Boston Dynamic robots are. Should I know what that is?
No, I don't either, and I don't know the durability of them.
Probably the robots. Robots will be able to take a punch. I haven't seen these dynamic robots in action. I would need to see these dynamic robots in action before I could have an opinion. But the dynamic robots, I mean, they're not going to have any feelings.
But again, durability matters, right? It depends on, like, are we talking about, like, the metal and everything like that? Because these gorillas, in a punch, packing a punch, can do some damage to a robot.
Right, but the gorilla's not going to sit there and grab the robot and punch it. They're probably going to swipe away at it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you really see, like, a silverback gorilla sitting there, like, putting up their dukes like they're Roy Jones Jr. and throwing jabs and crosses? No, they're not that sophisticated. Or trained to fight like Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, but now if they throw the one, they could take out multiples. Gorillas are so strong, too. If they take one and throw it, and it takes out a few others, I mean, don't sleep on the strength of the gorillas.
I'm not sleeping on the strength of the gorilla at all. I'm sleeping on the sophistication of the gorilla being able to punch the head of a robot off. I think they would be more like swat, push, than sit there and like try to do damage to the robot.
Too much time on this question.
Well, it is a mailbag Monday. Where
like,
yeah, goes.
But I'm like, because again, the robots, they're gonna have a chip that controls a lot of things. But unless you have someone that's like controlling them in the fight, I think you could take them out.
Again, like I don't know what these robots are capable of doing. I haven't seen them in action. Which bacon is cooked perfectly? Do you like it underdone, slightly underdone, perfectly done, slightly well, and then like burnt to a crisp?
Perfectly to slightly well.
Okay, I'm probably on the other side.
I don't like it
a little undercooked.
I don't like it the real slimy undercooked.
I don't like it when it gets too crunchy.
I'll go with that, right? And for me that likes things more well done, I don't like it like super crispy.
Yeah, I would go more on the underdone than overdone part of it. 713-780-ESPN. Jabari in the first round pick for Siakam. Who says no?
Jabari for a first round pick in Siakam? Indiana ain't doing that.
No, they're not
doing
that. That's a silly question.
Yes.
713-780-ESPN. Question for the Killer Bees. This text is funny. Is Branham is Mexican a real one or U.S. history book version? Oh, that's messed up. My mom's Mexican. She's half Mexican. Her last name, her maiden name is Rios.
Okay.
My grandparents are from Mexico. Villanueva, Camargo area.
Relatives from Mexico.
Yeah, my grandparents are.
There you go.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. What is the worst sport to watch if you don't have a rooting interest?
Soccer to me.
See what the U.S. has been doing?
Not a lot, no.
It's my car wreck of the day.
Glenn will fill me in.
Yeah, but he's going to be upset with you that you said that.
Glenn knows who I am. He knows that, I mean, he has educated me a ton on soccer. He knows I'm less than a casual soccer fan.
Would you rather the Astros trade for a bat or an arm?
I think the arms are coming back. I think a bat could really solidify a ton for this team because I think that they're buying enough time. You're going to get Arrigetti back. If McCullers truly is just needing an extra day or two, but he's going to be fine. And then you still have the outside chance that one, if not more, of these guys come back. And the bullpen's been so good, I would lean back.
Which arms are you counting on?
I'm counting on Arrigetti, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, to me, if I have Arrigetti, I think Gordon's going to get better, continue to get better. I think he's going to be a guy that could be your fifth starter. And then you found out last night that you got another guy that might be able to give you some spot starts or go give you another pitcher to consider, as well as I think from there I can't count on anybody else.
Yeah, just one.
Then. Gusto is Gusto, right?
But you're counting on the year. You said coming back. So you're counting on one coming back.
Yeah, and then between Garcia, Javier, JP France.
You think those guys are coming back?
That's what I'm saying. I can't rely on any of those guys to come back, but if they did, it would be a huge bonus. I don't see any bats that are just kind of coming up and around in the system or around. Yeah, so that's why I think the bat's more important.
I mean, Yordan would be the one.
Yeah, for sure. You're getting Yordan back. Look, I thought, but that's why I was kind of like, oh my God, Melton might be someone. He's not. I don't think he's going to be anything more than he is for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be better than what he's shown, but I'm with you that.
Right,
like,
right.
Is he going to hit at a big league level? Would you rather lose a pinky toe or a pinky ring? I'm sorry, a pinky toe or a pinky finger?
Toe.
Me too. Yeah, I feel like I use my pinky finger more often than I use my pinky toe. You could be like the Handmaid Tale and the wife of the commander who had her pinky chopped off and then get like that little glove thing that like has an artificial pinky. Watch Handmaid Tale?
No, but I know that right now the robotics and the way that they've created the artificial hand and its ability to kind of react within the human body to have real movements and control is amazing.
Blade Runner did okay for himself with no legs.
Just talking about pinky toe too. We're not talking about anything.
He won a race, didn't he?
I know.
Amongst other
Pistorius?
Things.
Oscar Pistorius.
Oscar Pistorius. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESP. Let's get to the car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Summer Circuit continues this week. Join us, ESPN Houston, every week as we visit different spots all over the greater Houston area. Each week, you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, $4,000 value. All you have to do is stop by the promo table. This week, we're going to be out at East River 9, hanging out, watching some of the U.S. Open this week. Will Doctor be joining us on Wednesday. So come out, join us this Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. at East River 9. You can find the entire summer circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. All right, car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. What are you nominating blankers?
I got a couple. I got first the Marlins pitcher who threw his final warm-up pitch and told the catcher to throw it down, only to get surprised when he got drilled in the dome by the catcher's throw down to second base. Typical Marlin move.
That was incredible. Have you ever been hit as a pitcher with a catcher thrown down?
No.
I asked a pitcher buddy of mine. He said he got hit in the leg, but never the dome.
now, like on a straight steal.
No. I was talking about warm up.
Yeah,
talking
nothing, nothing steal. A warm up in a game on a straight steal. There's been times you got to get the hell out of the way. Yeah, there's no doubt.
The Guardian catcher did that in the Astro game the other day.
He threw it where the pitcher had to get out of the way.
He almost hit the pitcher. Yeah, I can't remember who was stealing base for the Astros, and apparently he was like a rookie for the Guards, but he threw it down and like skipped over the mound. Like it somehow
missed
the
pitcher. It was a different catcher.
Yeah, it was a different catcher. It must have been Saturday, but he threw it right across the mound, like knee high, and somehow eluded the pitcher. It was terrible.
That'll wake you up in a hurry. Yeah, you got to have some reflexes.
I can't believe he got hit in the head. That is scary.
Oh my God! And it was like right at the top of the dome. I mean, that it was scary if that's a little lower.
That was the first inning.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's
he hadn't thrown a real pitch in the game and got clocked in the head by
your manager's
catcher.
Loving that. You're trying to take out my starter and I need some depth.
Like, I saw that and I wanted to contract the Rays. Like, you, or the Marlins, not my bad. I confused those two Florida teams that no one goes to watch.
I'd say the attendance is similar.
Like, your catcher's hitting your pitcher in the head before the game starts on the throwdown. You shouldn't be operating as a Major League Baseball team. That was unbelievable.
I mean, that's grounds to sit a guy down.
It's grounds to eliminate the organization from the face of the earth. Contract the Rays. Contract the Marlins. Contract the Rockies. Get rid of them. Plus, a contraction draft would be pretty good. You want a left-handed bat? Contraction draft. That's how you do it. What else you have?
You were watching some of these games. Did you happen to see this Tennessee-Arkansas matchup?
I did. It's kind of an anticlimactic series, really.
Yeah, but just this matchup alone between Zach Root and Andrew Fisher. I mean, Andrew Fisher is a complete D-bag in the batter's box. I mean, yes. The first couple pitches, he's looking at the bench. He's telling them, basically, he's pointing to what the pitch did or didn't do, and he's showboating it all up.
A little Soto-y.
Yeah, and then Zach Root just loads up 3 99ers and says, sit down, and basically tells him, sit down, with a few names attached to it.
He started to really get after him after he grounded into a double play later. Like,
same guy?
Yeah.
Both guys, same guys?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He grounded into a double play, and like he was staring up the line like, go sit your down. And somehow his jersey came undone as he was doing this because his catcher was trying to separate him. Like they didn't need to be separated, but he was trying to stand in between the pitcher and the hitter. And like the pitcher's jersey got like ripped all the way down.
Like the walk of shame for that hitter to basically show out for the first three balls and then to just get gassed for three straight, walking back to the dugout, like owning that one, nice look.
Yeah, that guy's really good, though. So is Arkansas, though. Arkansas probably the betting favorite,
right?
To win. They've swept them.
And then my final one was Nico Horner got ejected in the Cubs game yesterday for turning around and saying to the umpire, you're having a bad day so far, huh? And he tossed it.
Yeah, that was a weak ejection. About as weak as you're going to get. Now, arguing balls and strikes is automatic ejection.
But is he arguing or just saying you're having a bad day so far, huh?
I don't think whenever you tell an umpire you're having a bad day that you agree with his calls.
Right, but you're not directly saying you suck like a lot of these guys do or say, oh, that's BS.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's why it's a borderline interpretation for the umpire to make the call he made. I think it's a weak-ass ejection.
It was a very weak ejection, Yeah. But any time that you're arguing balls and strikes, you do put yourself at risk. But it was as bad as a weak an ejection as you're going to see, though. You're having a really bad day, boom, gone. That was a weird one.
No doubt.
And Horner's, like, really good at play discipline and stuff, too. Like, he really knows the strike zone. So it's one that you probably let him get away with versus, like, a Yiner Diaz. Like, okay, Yiner doesn't know the strike zone. He can't tell me that. Nico Horner does know the strike zone. He can probably tell me that. I want to nominate this whole Riley Gaines, Simone Biles thing. Boy, it got ugly fast, didn't it?
It was on the news. Oof.
I didn't
go back and read all of them.
These online feuds lately have been like WrestleMania worthy. You have Trump and Elon Musk, and then you have Riley Gaines and Simone Biles. You get a little celebrity boxing. I would pay to watch both of those
Riley
fights.
Gaines, was he a swimmer?
Riley Gaines is a she.
She was a swimmer.
Simone Biles kind of alluded that he might be a he.
Oh. Okay.
Simone Biles
Rowdy
got a little
Gaines
body shaming.
Was a guy. Yes.
Rowdy Gaines, I think, was a... Rowdy Gaines does the TV commentary for the Olympics.
Yes, but which sport?
Swimming.
Is it swimming? Okay.
Yeah.
I knew that name.
Who's the guy that does it with him? Who's the play-by-play guy for swimming? The stroke-by-stroke guy for swimming. He's the guy who does golf for NBC.
Terry Gannon?
No. The other guy.
Oh,
kind of looks like Terry Gannon.
Hannah Storm's wife, Dan Hicks?
Hannah Storm's married to a woman?
Hannah Storm's married to Dan Hicks.
You said wife. It is Dan Hicks.
Oh, Dan Hicks, yeah.
Dan Hicks and Rowdy Piper are the guys who do the swimming thing. But yeah, Riley Gaines, Simone Biles, they got ugly fast. U.S. men's national team, they've lost three straight matches. They fell to Turkey in a friendly 2-1. If you let Brian King and Josh Hader out there, they would have had no problem with Turkey. Would have had no problem. So an embarrassment, this U.S. men's national team. And then Rory McIlroy missed the cut at the Canadian Open, which, whatever, golfers miss cuts. He missed the cut by a dozen strokes. Evidently. Missed the cut by 12.
Evidently, he's struggling with the driver.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
They're not letting him cheat.
Yeah, and now they said that what the Canadian Open, the tournament you're talking about, the Canadian Open, that he tried to go a shorter driver so that he had more control, and he had less control.
So how come we're not talking more about Drivergate here? Did he win the Masters with his bad driver?
And Scotty, and he tried to say, well, you know, I didn't want to call out Scotty on the fact that he got dinged for his driver, too.
Did he get dinged or did he get checked?
No, I think that they eliminated both their drivers. Oh, okay. Scotty just found another one and didn't have a problem.
I wasn't sure. I remember reading something about Scheffler, but I wasn't sure if he just if they had it checked or if he was actually had it taken away.
Yeah, they're both TaylorMade guys, and Scotty just went to a backup driver, another driver, and he had no problems. And Rory's got a lot of problems.
Did you hear? That's what Rory said he didn't talk to the media for the other day, was that he was mad that it leaked out because
yes,
the people that leaked it
saying.
Out shouldn't have leaked it out.
Yeah, and he said, well, I didn't, you know, if I had talked, then I would have called out Scotty for him being also losing his driver. Well, Scotty didn't have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. U.S. Open's this week.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
We're going to have our boy on?
Yeah, we'll at Wednesday at 4, I think.
Okay.
We're going to have him on. Car Wrecks of the Day, Texter, Car Wreck of the Day. Oscar Pistorius did pretty well for himself. Jeremy J. Branham. How do you know my middle initial is J?
It's kind of crazy. Because I think you've said it.
Pistorius did do good for himself. He won that, what did he win? He qualified for the Olympics, didn't he, or something like that?
Well, I mean, yeah, as a sprinter, whether I don't know if that was that allowed in the actual Olympics with the prosthetics?
I can't remember. He won gold in the 100 meter, 200 meter, 400 meter at the 04 Paralympic Games.
Okay.
So he's one of the greatest Paralympic sprinters of all time. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that he had a good career
as a track star.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we know. I mean, well, that's what we know him for professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he out yet?
There was talk of it, him being up for
I can't
appeal,
remember.
But I don't believe that he is.
Oscar, former Olympic. He did go in the Olympics. He returns to racing? This story's from 4 days ago.
Well, he must be out.
He's competed in his first race in 12 years after murdering his girlfriend.
So
this
he's
dude
training
is racing?
While in prison?
No, he's out of prison.
But I'm saying, but he had to be training so that when he came out of prison, he
what
could
else
go
was
right
he
to
doing?
Racing.
What else was he doing?
I don't know.
Prison's a great spot to work out, work on your craft. Nothing else to do. Alex wants to nominate Brian for not working today and also Sarge for his chub take, relating him to Ed Reed. All right, what's winning?
You want to take the weak ejection?
Yeah, let's do that. Weak ejection, you win. Thanks for Ryan and Sean doing Brian's work. He's blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye. See ya.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.